Praise the name of the Lord. Let me say a couple of things here as well. You got the picnic coming, but next Sunday is May the 24th, and that is Pentecostal Sunday. All right? I love Pentecostal Sunday. I want every Sunday to be Pentecostal Sunday. But that is 50 days, after the Passover, when the Holy Spirit was poured out at that particular point in time. And so, you know, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate what God has done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you keep that in mind. We'll probably have opportunities. If you got a word from the Lord, seek the Lord this week and say, Lord, give me a word. Whatever the Lord would give you, we sure do appreciate all of that. So praise the name of the Lord. Now, what we're going to do here is that I'm going to read a few foundational scriptures, and then I'm going to say some prayers over us that have to do with various things. And when I speak them, and I'll say to you, everybody say amen. When I say that, that is your cue where you say amen. Okay, that's pretty simple enough, and then we'll go from there with what I have on my heart before the Lord. You can follow along with me, with the particular ones. The last one that I'll give you here, I want you to particularly turn to, but I'm going to start in Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, you may know it well, you can turn there. It's always good to see the Word. It's always good to see the Word. These are the promises of God, and we're going to stand on them. We're going to stand on them, hopefully, in pulpits around the nation, that these type of things are going on at this particular point in time. You know, we're not going to give our nation over to the devil. You know, we're not going to give our churches over to the devil either and tell us what to believe. You know, we're going to hold steadfast with the liberties and the freedoms that the Lord has given them to us. And I hope that you know, and I hope that you realize that you are in a fight. And your country is about to change. And if you think that it's going to go on just as it's always gone on, you are sadly mistaken, because the devil is trying to bring nothing but darkness around America. You know, because America is not perfect in any form or fashion. America is not Christian. You know, there's no such thing as a Christian nation, okay? You know, but we are a nation that has been founded upon Christian principles. You can never institute Christianity. I'll tell you another one the church has never learned is you can't institute the Holy Spirit either. You know, when you start trying to institute those type of things, that's when he walks out the door, because that's not how he's controlled, nor is it how he works, right? And so we need to understand that very clearly. But we know that we are a wonderfully blessed nation, and that we've been blessed on Christian principles. And all through the Capitol and the such, there are writings and, you know, there are scriptures and the like. You know, our laws are built upon, the Word of God and Christian principles and the like. You know, and we're not about to lose them. You know, if we sit back passively and we do nothing, we certainly will lose them. Because those that want to change this nation, they're not walking passively. They're working meticulously and tirelessly, and they're counting on Christians being passive, that we take our freedoms for granted, and, oh, we just go live. Oh, you know, get my little life. You know, well, your little life is going to come to an end. You know, it's going to come to an end. You know, and don't think that it can't come quickly. I'm going to just refer to it. I'm going to get to these scriptures in our prayers, but I want you to think about how quickly things changed during COVID, and that it is stuck in my mind. It is stuck in my mind. The Kentucky State Police in the parking lot of a church, while the church on a Sunday was doing nothing but having services, and the State Police of Kentucky were in the parking lot, and they were writing down the license plate number of every person that was attending that church service. And if that does not get your attention, then I'm not really sure whatever can get your attention. Because that is a very significant and very important understanding. That didn't happen up in Massachusetts. It didn't happen up in Maine. All right? It didn't happen in those very strong liberal places. We might be a little more liberal than we really want to admit. But anyway, nevertheless, but understanding this, that they were doing nothing but having church, and it is embedded in my mind, and I will never forget it, and I'm completely ashamed of all of that. That's how fast things can change. People lost their businesses because that they were told that they had to close. There was one particular guy up north, lost everything, and all he had was a gym. That's all that it was. But I'm sorry, it was okay, you know, for Walmart to be open, isn't that kind of strange? It was okay for the liquor stores to be open, isn't that kind of strange? It was okay for the strip clubs to be open, isn't that kind of strange? But if you were a small business owner, you had to close your doors because you were jeopardizing everybody around you with COVID. So that tells you how fast things can change. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that was a test probe. It was a test probe from those that want to take over our nation. You know, and they want to do it if they can. And boy, what a tool, fear. Boy, I hope your trust is in Jesus and your faith and your eternal hope and also in your health and the like. Is that your trust is in Jesus, because you saw how willing people would give up their freedom. They were willing to give up their freedom because they were afraid of a disease. They were afraid of a disease, and they were willing to be told to do anything and in order to be saved from that disease. And those that are watching learned a lot during all that time, and I'm not talking about the good people. They learned a lot. They learned about how that you could take away freedoms, but not directly approach their freedoms, but they would give them up willingly. So I'm going to tell you that it's only strong Christians that are going to be able to stand against that. And we got hope in Jesus, and our hope is in the hand of Almighty God. And I want to emphasize that. And I'm going to read here, but I want to say one more word here of something. I didn't have a chance to put it down, but I was thinking of Abraham. And I want you to think about, you know, when God had decided it was time to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole valley. It was the whole valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels of the Lord came by Abraham. You know, and Abraham, they were told to Abraham what was to come. And then they begin to go on down and go down toward the valley. And Abraham began to pray to God. And you know the story. He said, Lord, you know, if there's 100 righteous people in there, you know, would you not spare them? You know, there's so much to learn out of that narrative, and someday maybe we'll look at it, you know, but it's really quite incredible. Many times God's waiting for his people to just ask, and to believe. And so, you know, this narrative, then he said, you know, he would not destroy it if there was 100 righteous. And, you know, keeps on going down, right? You know, would you destroy it if there's 25 righteous people? Lord said, I won't destroy it if there's 25 righteous people. You know, and then he finally gets down to how many number of relatives that he had, right, that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, that had to do with Lot and with his family. You know, and it wasn't anything that they deserved. They kind of liked it. I'm not saying what they were and what their moral state was in, but they were living in a place of a lot of wickedness, and they enjoyed being there. They enjoyed the life, and they enjoyed the lifestyle. You know, remember? Do you remember? How can I say that? Well, I can say it based on a lot of things, but how about one of them? And this is that they were given the command to not look back. You know, and then as they were going up the mountain, you remember that Lot's wife looks back and she's turned into a pillar of salt. she didn't look back to look at the show. Okay? She looked back in longing. She looked back in missing, you know, what she wasn't going to have no more. And so she's walking and, you know, and she's already been told not to. And she turns and she looks, you know, that her life is not in God. Her life was back there. Her life's not in God. Her life's back there. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. But the rest were all saved. Well, that tells me that I'm going to tell you, it don't take but a handful of those that really are earnestly before the Lord, willing to pray and believe God, that God will intervene. He will intervene. And that's what we stand on this morning. Here at Jeremiah, you know it well, but I'm going to read it because I love it so. And it's a great scripture of hope as we stand in the gap for our nation. And this is Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And that's not only spoken for us as a nation, because we stand to believe for our nation, but it also is a promise to you personally. And I really want to encourage you to take it to heart. I want to encourage you to take these scriptures. Now, these scriptures, I will have them wrote down in these prayers. I'll have them wrote down, and I'll make a copies, and they'll be available for you next week so that you can take and you can pray these things. You know, but take God at His word for yourself and believe upon the Lord with all of your heart. And then I want to say, well, where do you find this future and where do you find this hope? You know, because God's got good plans, not bad plans. And He's always got a plan. May I say that to you again? He's always got a plan. Oh, well, I'm such and such age. He's always got a plan. All right? I knew a man. Rough old boy, and he was well in the middle of his 60s when he got saved. And I want to tell you right now, he turned the Southwest upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and he did that in a short 10-year period before he went on to be with the Lord. That's what he was destined for at that time. And it's just an amazing story what God can do, what God can do. Now look at this. There's conditions. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me." And look what he says, "And I will listen to you." And when will God do that? Verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me." Wow, what a wonderful promise that the Lord says, "You'll find me. If you'll seek me, you will find me." And then here's the condition: "When you search for me with all of your heart." You know, that's how you find God. And I'm talking whether you're Christian or whether you're Christian with a need or whatever it would be, is that this is a formula that how you find God. You say, "Oh, my gosh, I need God so much." This is a formula that tells you how you will find God. If you will follow the instructions that are given here, you will find God. You will find God, you know. And anyway, let's now we're going to go on to another place, and that's going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I could take each one of these and pray and speak on them more, but I'm not going to do that. We're standing on these scriptures. That's what we're doing. That God's got a future for America. He's got a future for our land. You understand why the evil one is so out to destroy America? Because if America goes, so goes the whole world. You know, if darkness comes over America, then darkness goes over the whole world. You know, that's the significance of it. Again, I'm not saying we're always perfect or we do everything right. Or you could point out right now 1,000 sins and say, what a shameful thing in America. You know, but keep in mind the scenario that I just gave you about Abraham, okay, and how God will deliver. And it wasn't because Sodom and Gomorrah deserved it, nor was it because of Lot and his family. It was because of Abraham. And it was because Abraham proclaimed it, and he claimed them. He claimed them for the kingdom of God. And as he did that, God moved in a mighty way. That's where we're standing today. You know, do not be discouraged as you say, well, what can we do? Look at us. We're not looking to what we can do. We're looking to our God as to what he can do. That's what we're looking to. Keep it in mind. Now, this is in 2 Chronicles 7, and it's 14. You know it well. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Boy, that seek stuff keeps coming up, doesn't it? You know, that seek stuff keeps coming up. And, you know, and pray and seek my face. And look here, and turn from their wicked ways. This is the, now, that's the condition. Here's the promise. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. What a wonderful promise from Almighty God. We thank the Lord for it in the name of Jesus. Now may we walk after it with all of our heart. And all of the godly people of America, may we follow and obey. The Lord is true and he is faithful. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, this is our next scripture here. And these are all about either standing in the gap those that did stand in the gap and they received what they did not deserve. They received from God what they did not deserve. And that's the position that we're standing in here today. Now, this is in Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 9, we'll look at verse 3 and 4. And that's where we'll start. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him. What, this seek stuff keeps coming up, doesn't it? To seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and the awesome God, you can see where his hope is at, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, they walk after his ways and they're believers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and he's calling on the Lord in a very desperate circumstance and situation that appears to have no hope within it whatsoever, except for hoping in God. Now, let's go on over here, if we would, over into verse 17. It says, so now our God, listen to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. And for thy sake, O Lord, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. You know, it also applies to us. And then 18 says, O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. What a wonderful promise of Almighty God. Amen. Oh, we praise his great and his holy name, that our God is compassionate. You know, when we turn to him in repentance, it's never too late. It's never too late. The devil will tell you it's too late, okay? It's never too late. You know, we serve a miracle-working God. You know, it's never too late for you. It's never too late for your family. It's never too late for our nation. It's not too late. We don't want to be those people that go wringing our hands and say, oh, well, I don't know what to do. You know, we don't want to be, it's out of our hands, per se. It's in the hands of God. And that's who we're going to believe upon. Now, would you turn to John, and everybody turn at least to 1 John chapter 1. I want you to go there. And I want you to see how all this so lines up. In the word of the Lord and the promises of Almighty God, blessed be the holy, righteous name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is in 1 John, You know, you probably know this well. You can probably quote it. And that is in verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is very personal, but it's also for our whole nation as well. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only forgives you, but he cleanses you from it. If I get my hands dirty and I go to the sink and I put my hands under the water, you know, and I wash them, the dirt and the filth is washed away. Okay? This is not an intellectual promise with an intellectual forgiveness. This is a transforming power of promise that comes from Almighty God. I want to read it one more time. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you with all of our heart. I'm going to have everybody to stand, if you would. Now, if you can't stand, don't worry about it, all right? I mean, really, it's if you can't stand, don't worry about it. We know that you're standing in heart. And so you just realize that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray these prayers. I'm going to speak them, and then I'm going to ask you to respond. And Lord, I just want to give you praise and glory right now. Lord, here we are on May the 17th of 2026. Lord God, in this 250th rededication of America, Father, we're lifting it up to you right now. You know, this is a national jubilee of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And we're looking for you, O Lord God, to come. And Lord, for you to turn our nation around. And we're laying that before you. We want to make a declaration that all of our hope is in the Lord our God. We do not have any hope in our own works. We do not have any hope in our own righteousness. And Lord God, we pray and we believe with all of our heart that, Lord God, that you will bless us not according to what we deserve, but Lord God, according to your great compassions. According to your great compassions. Everybody say amen. 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 You know, we pray for the restoration of America to its Christian roots and its values. Everybody say amen. Amen. May no false god rule over our land. Everybody say amen. Amen. We repent of sin before God, personal sin and national sin. Everybody say amen. Amen. Deliver us from the demonic attack that is against America in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Oh, Lord God, we ask for protection against our enemies, domestic and foreign, man-made or spirit. Everybody say amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, oh, Lord God, we come before your presence right now. And Lord, we also pray for protection against the globalist agenda, the socialist agenda, the communist agenda, the woke culture, and the DEI culture. Everybody say amen. Oh Lord, my God, as I come before your presence right now, protect us against those who want to destroy our national heritage as Americans. Everybody say amen. Amen. Lord God, we pray right now, protect us from the propaganda to destroy our history, our Christian foundation as a nation. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, save our children from the liberal indoctrination in our educational system. Everybody say amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, deliver us from the God-hating spirit in our educational system, in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Lord God, we pray with our educational system that, Lord God, that God would be, Lord, restored. Prayer would be restored. And that patriotism would be restored in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to give you praise for that. Okay. Deliver us from the dark spirit that seeks to bring America down. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Father God. We just want to give you the glory for that right now. Hallelujah. Deliver us from a religious spirit and bring about true godliness in our land. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Let us Christians be the first to humble ourselves in repentance. Forgive us, O Lord, our God, of all of our sins. Everybody say amen. And then I want to pray a little bit of a different prayer. And this one in right here is this prayer is, Lord Jesus, come heal our nation. That we're asking the Lord to heal our nation. You can be seated right now. You can be seated. I want you to turn to one other place, and that's going to be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, which I think on Pentecostal Sunday, I will be referring back to this again for another purpose. Beatrice, you got your anointing oil. Okay? All right. Beatrice got her anointing oil. Raise it up there. You got it? Okay. Okay, I'm going to read this, and then I'll read it again and have a prayer. This is in Mark 6, and this is in verse 12. The Lord Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. And then in verse 12, it says, and they went out, and they preached that men should repent. And notice what their message was. Repentance. That was their message. And then verse 13, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. All right, Beatrice, I want you to take and go quickly, and I want you to go anoint those front doors and the outer doors from the lobby, and then I want you to anoint the doors, the inner doors right there that come into the sanctuary. You know, we're dedicating our church. I'm sure we've done it before. We're doing it again. And that when going forward from this day, you know, that we're dedicating our church. We're dedicating this building. We're dedicating all the activities that go on. Go ahead, honey. And in this to the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's given to him. I'm not saying it hadn't been. We're doing it fresh and new. Okay? We're just doing it fresh and new. I'm going to let her do that right now. In the name of Jesus, we want to be dedicated to the gospel and the gospel message. This is our mission as Christians. This is our mission as a church. I hope you understand that. Without the message of Jesus, people cannot be saved. We don't believe in reform. We believe in transformed. I was not reformed. I got transformed. Right? We need to understand that. Well, I think she got lost in the lobby. That was a joke. Okay, all right. So while she do that, I got my anointing oil right here. Okay, you know, I'm anointing this pulpit right here in the name of Jesus right here. And this, and Kathy, come on up here real quick so that I can be lazy, okay? And would you come here and take this oil, and would you anoint this table and the prayer table both? Yes. Thank you, honey. Hallelujah. Thank you. Please, then, right, go right ahead. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, on Pentecostal Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to anoint everybody here. Okay? We're going to anoint everybody here, but not this Sunday. And that's not the thing. We're dedicating our ministry to the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're all here doing right now. We're doing this of one heart. We're doing this of one mind. We're doing this in one faith before God. We're saying that, Lord Jesus, this is not our ministry, nor is it any man's ministry, okay? But it is your, thank you, it is your ministry, okay? Holy Spirit, we're not going to try to control you and tell you what we'll take and what we won't take. It's yours. Now, I'll read that again for us, and that is verse 13. You know, and it says right here, and they were casting out many demons, were anointing with oil many sick people, and they were healing them. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we're asking you, Lord, to heal us, our church ministry. Father God, restore, oh Lord God, your purpose, your heart, your mind, and your will. Let your presence dwell among us richly. We just confess before you that without you and without your presence, we have nothing, oh Lord God. We have nothing but an empty shell that really has very little meaning, oh Lord God. Lord, do not give us up to a spirit of religion, but, oh, Lord God, give us into the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and our covenant God and all of the glorious promises and purposes that you have for your people. Let them unfold among us in a great and a mighty way. Lord, as we come and dedicate ourselves, dedicate this building, dedicate this work, dedicate our ministry for your purpose and for your will, we give up in the name of Jesus our agenda. And we come before you, O Lord God, to receive, O Lord, your agenda. And we want to thank you and give you the praise for that. Come, O Lord God, and do your will and have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise your holy, righteous name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Kathy, why don't you come on and let's worship a little bit. Everybody stand.